This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
A lot of folks still taking a look at last week's election in a lot of different ways. We're going to do that from one particular vantage point on today's program. There was a question for Douglas County voters on the ballot last Tuesday that said, do you believe that full services should be restored at the Roseburg VA Hospital? It passed with 93% of the vote, 40,643 votes. 7% no, 3,225 votes. Jim Little and Bill Duncan in with us this afternoon. And not often that you get an election result that is very split that way.
Hello, Kyle. It's always a pleasure to be with you. You're certainly right. Both Bill and I here, we almost did cartwheels when we heard that. Prior to the election, we thought, well, perhaps 80% of the voters would be a good return, but my goodness, we got some icing on top of the cake, if you will. We're very pleased with how the voters responded to that question.
So, Bill, what was your reaction?
Well, Tim Freeman, bless him, he was a guy that actually helped us get to this non-binding question, and he kept saying, well, we'll get 75, and I says, no, let's shoot for the moon. And when I says, I'd really like to see 90. And when it went above that, I'm like him. I was turning cartwheels and thinking, this is good. This is good. Now we got numbers to go forward with.
So any reaction from anyone at the VA since then?
We haven't heard any at this point. We're hoping that we get to have an audience with the new assistant director this week, and we're going to chat with her about it and see what her outlook is, but we feel that the community has definitely backed us just as they did over 10 years ago when House Joint Memorial 26 was passed, which basically said the same thing, that we should have a full-service hospital here in Roseburg.
So any reaction from local public officials or folks in D.C. in other offices?
I have been out since the election, since we got our first results, sending out emails trying to get a hold of legislators to no avail at this time. It's been interesting. I've even sent, 2 days ago, I sent something out to the director of the VA stating, you know, that we hope that now that the election was behind us that we could get somebody that would be interested in dealing with us, helping us get over this hump. And so far, it's been a pretty negative thing. I don't quite understand that because that 90% was only Douglas County. I mean, it didn't include Josephine County and Curry County and Coos County, other counties that are serviced by this area.
So talk about, let's sort of set this up in terms of some of the services that you feel like have been dropped or altered in recent years. Kind of run through some of that.
Well, at one time, there were a lot of inpatient beds. There are none now. Also, we had it's now called an urgent care center that veterans could go to almost 24/7. Now those hours are limited. A lot of the orthopedic services are gone. The specialty clinics are gone. So much is gone that it's just a shell of what it was over 10 years ago. I can recall when I first came to Roseburg, we had, I don't know, Bill, probably 30 inpatient beds at least. And veterans could also respond there if they had an emergency situation. And that's not the case now. Any veteran that has an emergency need, they have to go to the Mercy Emergency Center. And that is sometimes overburdened. We feel like we should have some place that we could go in an emergency situation. That person could be stabilized until he needed further action. And the ICU rooms are there. I've harped on this for over 12 years. They almost started calling me Mr. ICU, but we're going to continue that. And not, I guess I could say, the folks that work at the VA, we respect and admire those that work so very hard. and we want to be transparent. We're going to tell the upper leadership that we want a full-service hospital, and a lot of that is involved in trying to explain to the leadership that rural areas need to be have services or salaries as that compares to the larger metropolitan areas. It seems to be the view that veterans in rural areas don't have the lifestyle that they do in metropolitan areas. And I think that, in my view, Douglas County is exactly how America should be, in my view. It's a wonderful place to be. We're supported by the commissioners. And with this 40,000 plus is just an amazing number of people that are, that have our backs. I'm still quite pleased with it, and we're going to share this news widely.
Yes, it's exactly what he is saying, because we've lost all of those valuable clinics that we could have had here. We don't have mental health. Mental health is a huge thing nationwide. I mean, you see the people in these shootings and stuff that are involved in that keep talking about mental health. We had one. Now it's White City. Patients need to be close to their families. We would like to have it here. I read something of interest, Jim. Jim is, I think I mentioned last time, keeping me with lots of information. So I actually have brought a copy of it to leave with you, Kyle, for later on reading. But this one was dated in July of 2011. This thing states how important it is. It comes from the Department of Veterans Affairs, how important it is to maintain the Roseburg VA as a level 2 hospital. It's in everything. And then 2 years later, they're throwing it down the tube. Another thing that I brought to you is a recent letter that was wrote by Mr. Mixon that was here with us last time. And it's so well wrote, I thought at first Jim had wrote it.
Oh, no, Bill's a good writer.
But it's stating what is going on here and how much we appreciate what the voters did. So I brought that bit of information for you so you can read in whatever few slack moments you have, Kyle.
So talk about the impact this is having on local veterans when, you know, and of course veterans are from all different ages, but particularly those that are in older age groups, when suddenly they've got to drive an hour and a half, rain, sleet, or snow, to Eugene or White City to get the services that they used to get here. What's the impact?
That's, in my view, going in harm's way. A lot of us in the 60s, 70s, and 80 range don't like to drive at night, for instance. And should we drive down to White City, let's say, or for some service, that takes place. And plus, if the roads are icy, we definitely try to stay away from driving. But regardless, driving that far for our health care is, in my mind, just not what we were promised when we went in harm's way, that we would have accessible and proper health care. Traveling to other locations is just in my mind, not acceptable.
Especially in those winter conditions that we will be facing here soon. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going over there and it's dark by 5 o'clock and we're going to have snowy and icy roads. Not good. I mean, I'm in pretty good health, but I don't want to drive those roads. I don't like driving after dark myself. Yeah. We need to keep this local, and that's what we're looking about, is nationwide we need to do better by our rural area veterans. Mm-hmm. And what they provide for them.
So you've talked about all the things that aren't there now. Was this been kind of a gradual slide of one thing after another, or is it ramped up in recent years?
In my view, it's really ramped up just in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Back in 2011, I know Bill mentioned that document that was prepared. We were, in fact, promised that it might be possible that the ICU would come back. And over $55 million were dedicated for upgrading some of the buildings. And we felt that we were on the right road. We had some good directors at the VA hospital. In the last 10 years, we've had 6 directors at the VA hospital, and I would say majority of them were good. There were a couple that we just did not agree with completely. But that transparency has gone in the last 2 years, and things have taken place that we're not aware of. Clinics have been closed or transferred either to Eugene or White City that we haven't been told about. So I feel like the whole process has really sped up in the last 2 years, and we're going to do all we can to regain that transparency, both on our side and also the VA side, the elected officials, and get hopefully some good results.
Did that shift kind of happen during the 2020-21 COVID period, when a lot of things changed and there were restrictions and elements there tied to healthcare, and a lot of healthcare for everyone changed a bit? But was that when it really sped up?
I actually seen prior to the COVID thing. I seen it. I was privy to a meeting where I was told, "Look, we're going to have to move to shutting down our emergency care unit." And I says, "What brought that on?" And, "Well, we can't find the personnel. We're doing this. We can't do that." And then I says, "Okay, today you're going to tell us that." Now, this is before COVID. I said, "When are you going to tell us you're going to close the hospital?" "Oh, that's not our intentions. We're going to keep that hospital." It didn't last that long. Yeah. So that was told to me. I'm privy to that meeting when that happened. So it happened prior to. Some of the stats we're digging into now, we asked for stats that were pre-pandemic and post-pandemic. We're compiling all those stats today and trying to come up with some good dialogue to reach out to if we can get a hold of some of our legislators.
All right, more when we come back. Jim Little, Bill Duncan with us. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. Jim Little and Bill Duncan here. We're talking about the vote last week on that advisory question concerning restoring services at the Roseburg VA Hospital, some of the things involved around this. You talked about the slide starting pre-pandemic. Any shifts as well under a new presidential administration?
I don't think we've found out who's going to have control of what as of yet. So I don't know. I'm still not getting reactions. I got a quick reaction from one of our senators that was just blah. Keep up the good work and so forth and so on, and we'll see what'll happen in the future. But it's being ignored.
I think we are truly looking for a champion up in the halls of the powers that be that can go to work for us. And we don't have that person at this point, but we're working on it.
Now, obviously, Veterans Administration is a big, large organization. Change anytime you're in that type of environment is slow, usually, but it seems like change in the direction you don't want has come quickly.
I agree. In the past, I think back in the past when we gathered 12,000 letters from the folks in Douglas County, and that was made an impact when we laid all of those letters on the VA Secretary's desk in Washington. Well, this 40,000 folks that are on our side and standing shoulder to shoulder with us is a huge, I guess it's a huge bump up in our morale, too. We feel like we've got people behind us, and it's what we actually thought. The folks in Douglas County truly do honor and love veterans.
I really think that if we push our politics aside and not try to be labeled by one party or the other, what we want from our legislators is work together to bring up the right answer to the problem. And if it's just going to be personalities, conflict with them and conflict of inference, I don't like you because you're on the other side of the fence, they got to push those things aside and go back out for what the people elected them to do, and they're not doing it right now.
You talked about some of the programs that are not happening there. Any idea how much, what level the staff has been reduced?
That's another thing that we're in the dark about. I think I mentioned when we chatted with you earlier, the silence has been deafening. We just haven't had that information, that back and forth dialogue that we want to have. We are the patients of the VA, and they should certainly listen to it. It's our VA, and we should want to have a voice in it, and we haven't recently.
You know, I'd like to revisit what Jim said about the people that are working there and how important they are, because they are doing a great job. I had the ability to go in there today over a certain thing in an appointment, and I got there and they found out what the problem was, and they says, okay, go downstairs. So I go downstairs and I realize that they're not ready for me downstairs. So they also wanted me to go to another spot to make an appointment. That appointment is 6 months out. And a gentleman caught me on the way out, and he has definitely got some PTSD problems. And he went in to talk to him about it, and they made him an appointment of 6 months out. Mine was a medical problem. His was psychological. Yeah. So we're still facing 6 months delays.
Wow. And anytime you've got something that from either one of those vantage points, nobody likes to hear that.
I don't know.
Mine was a hearing problem, and I thought I could go in there and save my marriage by being able to listen to my wife.
No.
So,
where do things go now? You've got the results from the election, but what do you do from here?
Well, I call Bill our spark plug, because he truly is the leader in this effort, and this is an effort by all the veterans, not just a specific group like the Vietnam Veterans, American Legion, or the VFW. It's all the veterans that are affected by getting their health care here in Roseburg. So we're having frequent meetings. We're having a dialogue with also our county commissioners, I would say. They stand shoulder to shoulder with us. And I feel they truly have a heart for veterans, which is a big plus on our side. So we're going to continue on. We're getting advice from them as well. We're enthused, and our passion has really been rekindled, I think, by this wonderful result of the 40,000 people.
Well, we usually were meeting every 2 weeks, but last time we met, we decided to wait an extra week so we would have the election behind us. That date is tomorrow. We will be meeting at the VFW Hall on Walnut Street here in Roseburg. I invite everybody that would like to be interested to hear what's going on or ask questions or bring in some help for us. We'll be there at 10 o'clock tomorrow. We're going to set goals now that we have these numbers. I think it's going to be an interesting meeting, because we're going to be assigned duties and goals and pick up the torch and go forward tomorrow.
And have you heard about similar things happening at other VA facilities in the West or other parts of the country? Or is this more isolated to Douglas County in Southern Oregon?
I hear glowing reports from people in large metropolitan areas, but in rural areas, no. It's the same story that we're fighting here. And I think Bill made a comment once that the VVA leadership, the national leadership, feels that this may be a test case, if you will, for rural areas, improving the health care that rural veterans get.
Well, I at the leadership conference last summer, I addressed the membership at the end of it and saying, this is what we're after. And everybody, not one single person that came to talk to me afterwards and disagreed that it's not just a Douglas County problem. It's a nationwide problem, especially for those people that live in rural areas. I got hurt a while back in Boise, Idaho, and believe me, they were all over me. That's Boise, Idaho. I choose to live in Roseburg.
And do you think part of that is the problem attracting, especially doctors and the specialty ends, the sort of the higher level folks?
Yeah, the salaries are definitely lower than in the metropolitan area, so pulling those folks in is very difficult. We did have one temporary director that had some bold ideas. He raised salaries. He was training some interns that would possibly grow up to be VA doctors, those kinds of things. But then he went away, and all those ideas went away. So there's some solutions there if we just get the attention of folks that feel that it's a dire enough problem.
I totally agree that there's a need everywhere for medical people. Mm-hmm. But we can't go on saying because you live in Douglas County, Oregon, you're not worth the same price that you would get if you moved to Portland. They're the same educated people. They attend all their youth going to school. Pay them accordingly. And that means nurses and even the administrator or the gal that checks you in needs a living wage.
All right, Jim Little, Bill Duncan, again, that meeting tomorrow, 10 a.m. And at what location?
VFW off Walnut Street here in Roseburg.
All right, gentlemen, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thanks, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQAN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQAN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQAN.